Exodus 13. Exodus chapter 13. Read verses 17 and 18 with me. Exodus 13. You know, the word Exodus, the name, the title, the word means going out. Exodus 13, 17 and 18. It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. But God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now, let me remind us all what this is about. And I don't just mean this. I mean this. Why we're gathered. Just like Moses gathered the people together. You remember that glad gathering? When everyone heard that the Lord had visited his people, we were going to bring them. And what they all heard was, we're going out. That's it. And he reminds us now. Exodus means going out. Do you want out? Out of the miry clay. You want to go up out of these slime pits, off the dung hill, sit among princes, do you? Then you must be Israel. Because that's who this was for. And everything the Lord did up to this point was to bring them out of Egypt, which represents the world, unto God. They were going out into the wilderness to worship, weren't they? That's the whole reason. It says he's bringing you out that you might serve me. Hebrews 11. We read this often, and we should. Hebrews is a summary of the whole Old Testament. Hebrews is the story of Israel, of God bringing Israel, his people, out. And how he brought them out. How? The blood of a lamb. And Moses, their leader, who represents Christ. But Hebrews 11, oh, how I love this book, this chapter especially. Verse 13, it says, all the people died in faith. I want to die in faith, don't you? And now they received the promises, but having not received the promises, they're fulfilled. But having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them. That is, they laid hold of them and confessed. Here's what they said. We're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And they that say such things, is this what you say? You're a stranger and a pilgrim and you've embraced the gospel. The gospel's apprehended you, and you lay hold of that which you've been apprehended. You're persuaded. Are you persuaded? Huh? That he's able to keep that. Have you committed everything to him? He said, they that declare such things say plainly, let's seek a country. Let's seek in a country. Verse 15. If they'd been mindful, that is, they kept thinking about where they came out, they would have had opportunity to return, but no, they desire a better thing. A heavenly. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God. He prepared them a city. Go on down to verse 24. I can't read this chapter without thinking of Moses, because this is what every child of God comes to this impasse when it comes to years. Verse 24. When it came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather. Now we know that God chooses us. No, we don't choose him. But after he chooses us, we choose him. It's like Philip. We found the Lord. Oh, did you? The Lord found him, but he they were looking for the Lord too. And so we choose to suffer affliction. You chose to come here today, did you? Really, God's people have no choice. it's not only a habit, a duty, but it's and there's some habits worth that you need to, that you want have, like brushing your teeth. It's a good habit if you want friends. But coming to worship the Lord, it says that as Paul, as his habit was, always in the synagogue. And, it's what we need to do. It's our reasonable service, but it's what we want to do. We must do. We must do. Habit is something you have done for a long time, and it's something you must do. Can't do without it. So we choose to be with God's people. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Do you really? Do we really? Well, to those who say such things, this is for you. This is all for you. Go back to Exodus 13. It says in verse 17, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. How did he let the people go? Did he decide, well, I think I'll let them go? Oh, no. God sent the word, sent the command, and sent everything to make him let them go. He sent the command. Salvation is by command, and thou hast given commandment to save me. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And verse 14 says, they came out with a mighty hand, a strength of hand. That's how. Salvation's of the Lord. It's not man's decision. It's not free will, but it's sovereign power. Sovereign power of God. That's what it takes for Satan to let you go, to let us go. You see, Satan holds captive everybody in this world by nature. Until the Lord takes captivity captive. Until he takes those captives to be his captives. Satan has the world in captivity. We're born in this world. We're born of this world. Thinking of it, we're born living for this world. Isn't it so? We're captive to the world, and until God in sovereign mercy and grace delivers us from the world, we're going to go down with the world. We need to overcome the world. What is it that overcomes the world? Faith. That is, looking to the only one who can overcome, must overcome, the one who overcame us. You understand? You understand it. Salvation, he gets all the glory. These people didn't just up and decide to leave. God sent the command, bring them out. But he sent the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. That's what delivers us, the gospel of Christ. The gospel is his power. Christ, the Lamb, we saw that. So the gospel is the power of God. And if you're not under the gospel, if your children aren't under the gospel, there's no deliverance. They're not going to be delivered. It's not. Anybody, male, female, old, young, if you're not under the gospel, you're going to be overcome by the world. And we all know it's so. If we miss, the world gets another hold of us. It does. Because that's our nature, our old man. Well, so Pharaoh let them go by God's command and by blood, redemption that's in Christ. And it says God led them, verse 18. He led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the sea. He didn't lead them, verse 17, through the way of the land of the Philistine. That was the easy way. That was the fastest way. But he led them in what we might say a roundabout way. Now, if you look at the map in your Bible, you'll see that the way through the Philistines was up the coast. It would have been a pleasant way, looking at the enjoying the ocean breezes, you know. Now, they're going through the deserts. It would get hot, dry, thirsty, hungry. Oh, it would have been so nice. And they'd have been singing all the way. It would have taken, at the most, 14 days. 14 days. Instead, God led them through a way that took 40 years. Why? 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 Well, salvation is a lifelong journey. Salvation is a lifelong experience. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. Many people start well. Everybody in Israel, every single person, seemed to be going out. They all were singing, they were all happy, they were all so excited, and they were all so thankful, and they all listened to the words of Moses very carefully. They weren't out there 3 days before many of them wanted to go back. It's not how you start. It's not how you start, it's how you die. It's how you finish. Matthew 13. Go to Matthew 13. This is the chapter of the Lord's parables. Most of his parables in Matthew 13. And the very first parable, you could easily say, is the most important. The one he first gave is the most important because it deals with the Word of God. Sower went forth to sow. That's me. I'm sowing the word right now. Where is it falling? Whose heart? What kind of heart? Who's receiving it? Matthew 13, verse 17. Matthew 13, 5. Matthew 13, 5. Now, he says, the sower went forth to sow, and some of the seed fell on stony places. They had not much earth. There was no root. Not much earth, but it sprung up. Seed sprung up. It had no deepness of earth, no depth. And when the sun came up, it was scorched. It had no root. It withered away. Now look down at verse 19. He declares the meaning. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of God of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh... I'm sorry. All right, verse 20. He that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. That is, somebody hears the gospel and they seem to be enthused about it, and great joy, enthusiasm, and even diligence, they're very diligent about it in attendance and hearing it, and seem to be enjoying it so much. That's not how you start. Verse 21. It had no root. What's the root of the man? Christ. Real heartfelt faith, believe, trust, desire, love for Jesus Christ. You can't. That means you can't live without him. And what we're doing right now is everything about him. The worship of Christ. This is where Christ is promised to be. If you love Jesus Christ, that's where you'll be. But, and at first some get, they seem to be, well, he really loves the Lord. We'll see. We'll see. Judge nothing before it's time. I know. Read on, verse 21 says, "There's no root when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word. By and by, he's offended, and they leave." And the children of Israel, now go back to Exodus 13. The world is what overcame Israel, the world. Now, it wasn't war. You remember he said he didn't send them through the Philistines and have war immediately. It was temptations, the things of this world. The God of this world uses the things of this world. And this, money, houses, job, land, people, husband, wife, all these things that appeal to the flesh is what the God of this world uses, the flesh. And he appeals to your flesh. You need a spirit that's willing, don't you? Flesh is weak. You need a spirit that's given from God, a new creature created in you, in Christ Jesus, that's not of this world, that will overcome this flesh and this world. And the God of this world uses the things of this world. And the things of this world, the heat, they heat up like lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. You know how it is. Pleasure and things you see, it literally boils within you. It's where you, I gotta have that. I gotta have him. I gotta have her. I gotta have this. I'm going after it. Oh, we need a stronger than he, don't we? We need a new man in us. We need Christ in us. And if Christ, if any man be led, not, is led, not led of the Spirit, that person is going to leave. They're going to go after this world. They're out of the world. But those that are of the Spirit, of Christ, the Holy Spirit says, that looks good, but it's not. That looks sweet, but it's bitter. That promises you many things, but it's a liar. Lies. Don't go after that. Turn around and head to Christ just as fast as you can. Don't go there. Come here. Come here. The world is... So, most of the children of Israel, you know, only two people over 20 went in. What does that tell us? If we don't keep receiving the word as a little child, I mean... And hungry and thirsty. We need to come every time the gospel's preached. Because it's life or death. Because the world's strong. God, this world is stronger than you and me. If we don't come every time, think, Lord, please speak to me. Lord, please lay hold of me. Please don't let the world get hold of me. Please. That's how we need to hear the word. Lord, let me hear this as if it was the first time. You remember the first time? Nothing and no one could keep you from hearing the gospel. Nothing, no way, I don't care what it is. It's like love. You fall in love with your spouse and man, you swim the deepest sea and climb the highest mountain and jump over tall buildings with a single bound. Go without sleep. Nothing you wanted more than to be with her and him. Right? What about Christ? Is he your first love? That's what he said to the Ephesians. You've left your first love. You lay under sea and you're rich and increased with good. You have need of nothing. You don't understand. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you, try gold, try in the fire. Buy gold, try in the fire. If you don't, you're going to be overcome by this world. You're going to perish with this world. This world's going to perish. Everything in it. I don't want to perish with it. And there's only one way that God's going to keep me from perishing. Lay hold of Christ. Lay hold of this hope. Steadfast to the end. Lord, don't let me go. And don't let me let go. Lay hold of the gospel now. Let go of those things. Let go of those people. Lay hold of Jesus Christ. Everybody and everything lies to you. There's only one in the universe that doesn't lie. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Two people over 20 went in. And million. 2 million. Two adults. Joshua and Caleb. What's Caleb's name? Faithful follower. You couldn't get him to go away. Like a dog that won't leave you. I'm going to be a Caleb, don't you? To the end. Well, in verse 18, he led him a long way through the wilderness. Deuteronomy 32, I love this, says he found Jacob in a waste, howling wilderness. You hear that? Deuteronomy 32:10. He says he found Jacob in a waste, howling wilderness. What do you think about the things of this world, really? That everything you've accumulated up to this point, everything you've done, all the time you've spent and the things you've accumulated, really, what has it profited you? Or is it just, has it just been a waste of time? Do you not look back and think, why didn't I give myself to this? I wasted my substance like the prodigal son. It's a waste. Howling will. Do you howl? Do you ever? That's groaning in it. Like, whole creation groaneth. Howl. These, here are these dogs. My dog used to howl every now and then. What do you want? Me? You ever howl? Lord. Ever groan? Do you? This is for those who, in a waste, howling wilderness. What does wilderness mean? Break the word down. Wilderness. It's a wild place. You know what happens when the Lord, when new birth comes? You find out you're a wild man. And this is a wild place. And you've walked according to the course of this world, following blindly the God of this world. A wild man, untamed. And then taming begins. When you, as soon as you find out you're wild, this is a wild place, then the taming begins. Like the Lord and that wild ass's colt tied up between two ways. Could have gone either way. It could have gone either way. But the Lord said, go get him and bring him to me. No, you can't ride him. Watch me. I'm the only one who can. Bring him to me. Where is he? Right here. Right here. Wild. Wilderness. Well, I've been out there. I still go out there. I don't want out there. I want in here. I want to be found in Christ, don't you? I want to be in the ark, don't you? Noah had all the world he could stand after 600 years. He sat in that, the sun was shining. He went in that ark and sat. Whew. 7 days. Oh, this is wonderful. You fool. Look out here. Look at all this stuff. I've been there, done that. I'm happy right here. Right here with these sheep. That's me. Is that you? Waste, howling wilderness. They went up, harnessed. Harnessed. Said he, well, let me, I forgot to deal with this. Verse 17, he didn't even go through Philistines because Philistines were their natural enemies. And it says they would have seen war. And they went by the way of the Red Sea. The Red Sea represents this world. We're going to go through this world. It's a bloody world. Bloody men. Red clay. And the Egyptians are saved to go through the Red Sea. And their wheels got mired in the clay, didn't they? The whole world is mired in this Red Sea called the world. But we're leaving here. And brethren, when we leave here, nothing will be clinging to us. And we won't be clinging to anything. Anyone but Christ. But it says he didn't take them through the land of the Philistine because they would have seen war early on, and then they would have wanted to go back. This is the goodness of God in keeping a young believer from too much warfare, too much, too many battles and all in the beginning. It's like a young soldier. He's gung-ho, he's enthusiastic, he's got him a new uniform, got him a new gun. He's just raring to go, you know. We don't put him on the front line day one. He ain't ready for that, right? I'm sending him to boot camp, advanced infantry, and on and on it goes. I remember as a young believer watching old believers struggle and talk about their sinfulness and, you know, this and that and the other. And I remember thinking, what's wrong with them? They toughen up. I really do remember thinking, what's wrong with you all? Now I know. Now I know after all these years, I know. Battle, warfare, struggle. This, the life of a believer is warfare, struggle, a lifelong struggle. And so the Lord doesn't have us go through too much too soon. He led them the long way through the wilderness, through the Red Sea. It says they went up together, harnessed out of the land. Harnessed. Now I know what you think harness means. Like a horse's harness. No, that's, that's, the scriptures talk about bridle. The harness in the scriptures is a suit of armor. A yoke is what ties two horses together, or two oxen, or two cattle. All right? But we are yoked together. That will work. Okay? We are yoked together, bound together by love's strong cord. But the word here, harness, means armed. How are you going to get through this world full of enemies? This battle, this warfare. How are you going to do it? Ephesians 6. This is what this means. And I was almost disappointed that it didn't mean. But no, I'm not disappointed. We need to hear this. Okay? It does say they went by rank of five of them together in a row. 2 million. But Ephesians 6, you know this. We haven't looked at this in a year. We need to. Ephesians 6:10. Brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That is, look into Him. Because without Him, you can do nothing. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, all this represents the gospel. You understand that? You have no ability to fight against any temptation of the God of this world or anybody or anything in this world apart from Christ and the gospel, the means of grace. Zero. You're easy pickings. You're a dead man. Without a helmet, without a breastplate, without shoes on, you won't last 2 days. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, verse 12, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness world, spiritual wickedness in high places. So take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand with your loins girt about with the truth. Like a belt, and I don't have time to go through all this. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and above all, the shield of faith, so something won't pierce your heart. Quench the fiery darts of the wicked, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, always praying. Why? Because without Him, we can do nothing. Pray, our Lord said, pray, lest you enter into temptation. Pray, our Father, lead us not into temptation. Every day we go out there, we're facing temptation. He says, pray that you don't fall into it. you're going to be faced with it, pray that you don't fall to it. We're easy picking. You can't resist one temptation. One look. Can't do it. Or Lord, put the hand of the gospel over my eyes and ears and mouth and grab a hold of my arm. Mm-hmm. So, I went out armed. Go back to the text. I love this. I love this. Verse 19, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, Joseph said this, prophecy, when Joseph was in Egypt, and ruler over Egypt, God will surely visit you, and you'll carry up my bones out of this place. Jacob, first, his father. I love this. Jacob said to his sons when he was dying, don't bury me in Egypt. Take me out of here and bury me with my fathers. What about you? Don't leave me here. Take me out of this place. Lord, when you come, don't leave me here. I want to be where Moses is, where Elijah is, where Joyce is, and Ed, and Mark, and Joseph, and Shannon, and that's where I want to be, don't you, Ellen? Don't leave me here. Joseph said, his son said the same thing. Don't leave me here. Take me out of here, bones and all. And brothers and sisters, God is faithful who promised. You know what he said? He's going to gather up our bones. If they've gone to the wind, if they've been buried in the sea, he's going to come and gather them up and do what? Take us out of here. Is that your wish? They took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went before them. Oh my. By day, a pillar of cloud to lead the way. By night, a pillar of fire to give them light. Go by day and night. Now we're going to deal with that in the next chapter. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day or a pillar of fire by night from before the people. Know this about the cloud and the fire. It represents the Word of God, the truth of God. It represents Christ Himself. It's the difference. It's what separates God's people from Egypt. It's what separates God's people from Egypt. It's what makes the difference. It's what gives God's people light and keeps the Egypt in darkness. Know that. Know that much about it. And He said He'll never take it away. And I pray He doesn't. What is that? The gospel. Don't take it away. Don't take me away from it. Don't take it away from me. This is what separates you from the world. Know that much. If we don't get to the next chapter, pray that the Lord will keep this cloud and this fire in front of you. Amen.